بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين، محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. The question about أمر بالمعروف: if the husband or the wife, any one of them is not offering prayer or may doing some other types of haram, what for them may be drinking wine. So what is the duty of the other partner? Actually, this subject comes under Amr bil-Ma'ruf and Nahy an al-Munkar. There are many conditions in Amr bil-Ma'ruf and Nahy an al-Munkar has to be fulfilled. First, one himself should know what is Ma'ruf and what is Munkar, means what is wajib and what is haram. Now, if we are in doubt about it, we are not supposed to order the people to do something which might not be wajib, or to refrain from something else which might not be haram. We have to be sure whether it is haram or halal so that we order the people about it. If we are in doubt, then we may refer to alim and ask him about the thing, whether it is halal or haram, and then Amr bil Ma'ruf will come. Otherwise, it will be the negative effect, means Amr bil Munkar and Nahy an al Ma'ruf. It might be under that subject sometimes. So one himself has to be sure that what he is ordering is right and what he is forbidding is haram by Sharia. Secondly, the other party should be unaware of it. Unaware of it means he don't know that this is haram or halal. If he knows that it is haram and halal, then he is aware of it and he knows it. Here we only try to correct him by a nice preaching. Third, that if there is possibility that our saying will be effective. Now if we think that our saying is not useful, then it is not wajib to do Amr bil Ma'ruf. If somebody is indulging in haram and we think he knows it is haram, and if we tell him don't do it, he will not agree, he will insist to do it. So in this case it is not wajib upon us to do Amr bil Ma'ruf because it is of no use. Fourth, al-amn min al-dharar, that we have to be safe from harm. Now if somebody who is very bad man, and if we tell him about something haram which he's doing, he should not do, he might beat you, he might kill you, he might create problem for you, then in that case then you are afraid of harm facing you. So in that case you are not supposed to do Amr bil Ma'ruf, and it is not your duty. Your duty when it is useful. If it is not useful and there is harm for you, you have to protect yourself, and it is between him and Allah to punish him in the Day of Judgment. So this is the Amr bil Ma'ruf which is generally mentioned in books of fiqh. Now we come to the other type of jihad which comes with it and sometimes is mixed with it, which is mentioned that you have to change the wrong things by force if you can, otherwise by tongue, I mean by speaking to people, otherwise by heart. At least at your heart you do not agree with what they are, with the wrong thing they are doing. So at least you have protected yourself by disliking their deeds. And you cannot speak because they might harm you if you speak. If you can speak and you think there is no harm, then you have to speak about it and tell the people what you are doing is wrong, this is not the right way, it's better to abstain from this haram thing. Well, if by force one can implement it without any danger, without any harm, then naturally, I mean, I see two people fighting and one is willing to kill the other one. And if I have the ability to stop them, here, I have to stop them. Because by force, even by force, I should stop the killer to kill the other one. So this is if I have the force to use it. Now if I am afraid, if I come forward, I will be killed as well, then it is not my duty, I cannot. If I have no force, at least by tongue I will advise him that please don't do it, he's your brother, this is not good, this is not right. At least I can speak about it. If there is danger to me to speak also, because he is a tyrant man, then at least by heart I dislike the wrong thing he has done. Even by heart, that is sufficient, or wawa abhaful iman, as in the hadith, that is the weakest part of iman. So now we come, if between husband and wife, of course there are ways, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Holy Quran, ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. Call to the path of your Lord with wisdom and nice preaching, and argue with them with what is best. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us in what way we argue with people so that what we tell them is effective. We have to talk to them nicely, with nice preaching, with a good way, and we try different ways so that they might accept our saying. Some of the people get angry right away and start fighting. Well, to be angry sometimes will have adverse effect. The other party will not accept, and he might insist on the wrong thing he is doing. So one should not be angry. Maybe at the time when there is no friendship, or it is not the right time, when the other side is himself angry, and when somebody is angry he will not listen to anyone. So you might not feel that time is the right time to talk to him about his sin. So might wait till he cools down and he returns back to his normal condition, and then preach him in a nice way. Sometimes you plan that you be kind to him, or, well, if it is husband and wife, or anyone, he has to be kind to each other. Tell his partner, accept what he says, because of love and affection and sympathy between both of them. Now, then he can tell nicely that because you do not offer a prayer, that is a big sin, and why not, and it is good to offer a prayer, and that is wajib, and so on. So because of his kindness, his word will be effective. Otherwise, without his kindness, they will not listen to him. So there are different ways. Sometimes we cannot direct. We may say it indirect. Sometimes one can plan, maybe for a friend, for example. If you tell him he will not accept him, then he can tell somebody elder, and that elder may talk to him, and he will listen to the elder. Or he might be kept in an environment where the people are, for example, offering prayer, if he's not offering prayer. Or the people are not drinking wine. So if he's drinking, he will see himself alone in that environment, and he will feel shame to drink wine. And because always he is with the friends, and they are going together, meeting each other every day, so he has no time to be alone and go with bad friends and learn drinking wine from them. So by time he will forget drinking wine and feel shame of himself and abstain from that bad habit. And so on, you know. So to plan things, one may try different ways. Friendship, good character, nice akhlaq, nice way of talk, rational approach to people without hurting their feelings, without hurting their pride. You know, that is the best way. Some of the people got what is called al-izza bil-ithm. They are the pride of their sin. You know, if you tell him that you are sinful, he said, yes, okay, I will do it and I will continue it. So what? This is my way of life. So you see, he get a pride to continue his sin. So now telling him direct will have adverse effect, will not be useful. So it's better not to tell him direct. You may make a friendship with him and gradually talk to him indirectly. that it is, isn't it better to stop of this bad habit, which is haram and wastage of money, and that especially when somebody is good from all aspects, and all his characters is good, his behavior is good. Now only this bad point about him, at least one has to clean his book between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see, indirectly he might accept it, and he will find it is on the contrary, it is a pride for him to stop drinking wine. Before it was a pride to continue, now it's a pride to stop. When you tell him that the real man who is strong, have a strong willpower, is the one who can control his emotions. And following bad habits is weakness. So now instead of that weakness, one has to be strong, and he has to stop drinking wine. He has that got to stop it once and forever. So things like that, step by step, one can change the people. Of course, if we look to the enemies of Islam, the communist people, for example, in countries where they prevail, they have thousands of ways to attract people by talking to them nicely, by living with them, by helping them, by cooperating with them. So the people are attracted to their akhlaq and attracted to their cooperation and the favor they do to people. So the people are under obligation of their favor and look big of them. Of course, whenever they came into power, they killed the people and they were dictators. But before reaching into power, they propagate such fluffy ideas that the people are attracted to them, and they could control the young generation. Well, some of the missionaries in Europe, in Africa, elsewhere, they have that character. Sometimes talking is not the only thing which is useful. Sometimes the people are attracted to your behavior and character more than to your speech. Well, it is known story in the history that one day Imam Ali alayhi salam was coming to the Medina. Medina means the city, maybe to Medina Munawwara, or if he was in Kufa, to Kufa. And in the way from the suburb of the city, by the way, a Jew man was with him. So they were walking. He asked him, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to the city." So they were walking on the same way, talking general things. Then they reached a way of bifurcation. Then the road will go to the city, another road go to another direction. The Jews diverted his way to another direction, and Imam Ali was supposed to come to the road to the city. But Imam Ali walked a while with the Jew in his own direction. The Jew asked him, "That didn't you say that I'm going to the city?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, that is the road to the city." He said, "That is right, but our Prophet told us that whenever you have companions, you go with him for a while and then come back. As a respect to him, go with him in his own way and then come back and go to your own way. So I am coming with you for that purpose." He said, "Since when I became your companion?" He said, "Because you were together in the road." He said, "Oh, you have such a great religion that just by walking together in the road and by chance we met, I become your companion. This religion is very great, and your Prophet is a real Prophet." And he said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah." So see, this act was probably more important than any lecture or any sermon given to that Jew. He probably heard about Islam many times, but that did not affect his heart. But this good approach and akhlaq affected him, that this religion is so great that cares even for two people who walk together, say there is certain rights upon each other because you have walked together. There is a humanity feeling, and both of you are a human being because walking together, now there are certain rights. One of the rights that you should walk with your colleague in his street and then come back and go to your own way. So that shows how akhlaq is important. We know the story about the Jew who was neighbor to the Holy Prophet, and whenever the Holy Prophet was walking in the street in Mecca, the Jew used to throw felt and dirt
over the Prophet. And the Prophet, for 2-3 days, he found that there is no more problems from this Jew. He asked, what happened to this man? Every day he used to bother me, and for 2-3 days there is no botheration. They told him, he is sick, Ya Rasulullah. He said, okay, if he is sick, let us go and visit him. So he came and knocked the door, and was that Jew here that the Holy Prophet has come to visit him because he is sick? He felt so ashamed of what he has done that he could not even look to the face of the Prophet, and right away declared his faith and said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you see, the preaching of the Prophet, talking of him, might not be useful to him. It might be useful to others, but akhlaq here was very useful. Or even entering Mecca, see, conquering Mecca, the Holy Prophet was in Mecca for 13 years. He was teaching, preaching them. But still, people of Mecca, only few of them accepted Islam, the rest remained on kufr. And later on, they fought with the Holy Prophet when he was in Medina through many battles. But when the Holy Prophet entered Mecca, he was so kind and polite with them that he did not sensitize them to feel any reaction against him. And that is very important approach of the Holy Prophet. First of all, when he entered, he gave the banner to someone, and that he came with a pride, and the banner was high, and he said, Al-Yawm Yawm Al-Malhama, Al-Yawm Tusba Al-Hurama. Today is the day of fight, and today we will take the captives, the women as captives. So they told the Holy Prophet about him. He said, no, go and send someone and take the banner from him. And he said, Al-Yawm Yawm Al-Marhama, today is the day of rahmat, of mercy. Al-Yawm Tusan Al-Hurama, today the women will be protected and respected, not is taken as captives. So he changed the slogan completely. When he entered Mecca, the banner was not high like the victorious people. When they enter a city, well, the banner is high and they are proud and shouting and so on, so that to show themselves they are strong. No, he was looking down as if he is feeling shy from the people of Mecca, and the banner was down. So he was so quiet, so gentle in approaching them, that they were astonishing how this man, now he is conquering Mecca, and people of Mecca did so much bad to him. They killed his uncle Hamza, they killed other uncle Al-Farid, and so many Muslims were killed in different battles, and they tortured him and his companions, and many died due to torture. And now when he entered Mecca as a conqueror, still he is so kind to them, so merciful, it's unbelievable. That is why when he asked them and the congregation, that all people of Mecca, what do you think I am doing to you? They said, Akhun Kareem wa ibn Akhun Kareem, a generous brother and a generous nephew. So, I mean, they were expecting him to be generous and kind to them, and all of them suddenly accepted Islam. So now they have accepted Islam due to what? Not due to war, not due to fight, but due to akhlaq of the Holy Prophet. War was excuse to remove Tahut above them, because there was control of environment, of what you call propaganda and media of the Mushrikeen of Quraysh, the big people. They were controlling, so all the people are thinking the same direction. Now when he came with the army and the big people surrendered, Abu Sufyan and similar people, they surrendered. Now the rest of the people accepted Islam automatically. So the army was just to make the big people who are controlling the community to surrender. But the rest of the community accepted Islam easily, with justice and with kindness, with mercy. So this is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, that the mu'min has to have highest character. إِنَّمَا بُعَثُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Verily I was sent as a messenger to complete akhlaq, or the best of akhlaq, the best of morals. So one of the aims and object of prophethood of the Prophet is to complete the moral and or to give excellence to the morals of the community. Akhlaq is very important, and that is naturally applicable in all our life, whether between husband and wife if there is a problem, or between parents and children, or between friends and friends, or neighbors, etc. The question is, if someone do not offer ghusl for some time correctly according to marja taqlid, what is the issue for her? Should she do qada of the prayer all the time if she was not performing ghusl correctly or not? See, the matter of taharat or purification, which covers ghusl, wudu, and tayammum. I mean taharat, what they call from hadath, not taharat from khadath, from najasat, from blood or urine. I mean taharat ma'nawi, the spiritual purification. Is that it is a condition in acceptance of the prayer. And if it was not done properly, by mistake, then one has to do qada of all his prayers when he did that, even if he was not aware that his wudu was not correct or his ghusl was not correct. So one has to be very careful about learning details, ahkam of wudu, ghusl, and tayammum, so that his a'mal should be done correctly. Even it's better to do ihtiyat. So if someone, his wudu is not correct, and after 10 years discovered that his wudu was not correct, and he was not aware. Now whether he is qasir or muqassir, in both ways, he has to do qada of all the 10 years where his wudu was not correct. If someone whose ghusl is not right, he don't know the proper way of ghusl, and for 20 years he was not doing ghusl properly, and after 20 years he discovers that he has not done ghusl properly, he has to do qada of all the prayers and fast in that prayers, mainly fast, because he was not known, may not be needed, all his prayers in that 20 years, 30 years of his life. Or if he reach, sometimes some people they reach up to age of 70 years, still their wudu or ghusl is not correct, they have to do qada of the prayer all their life. You see, it is a very sensitive matter. There is another point in it, that if there is ikhtilaf in fatwa of the mujtahid, because it is not correct, if this mujtahid dies, another mujtahid comes. And if the ghusl or wudu in fatwa of the previous mujtahid was right, but according to fatwa of the new mujtahid, it is not right. Might be, according to fatwa of the mujtahidin, he has to do qada of his prayer, which was done according to the previous mujtahid. Yeah, but still, that is what I'm saying, it is very sensitive matter. Not better than a mujtahid. He has to do ihtiyat in that. To follow ihtiyat in that. Not better than a mujtahid. Because the mujtahid say, At-tahara al-waqi'iyya shart. The real purification is necessity. Now, I give example. Some use alcohol, for example, as perfume or eau de cologne, which has alcohol. According to Ayatollah Khoi, rahmatullah alayhi, the alcohol is tahir. So if they use on face alcohol and they do wudu, taharat is part of, is one of the major conditions for wudu to be correct. Now according to Ayatollah Khoi, the face is tahir and he did wudu, the wudu is right. Now according to a new mujtahid, I mean like Ayatollah Gulbaygani, for example, regarded as najis, Well, he said if it is muskir, then it is najis. If it is muskir. So suppose it was proved to be muskir. Suppose, I'm just giving example. Suppose it is proved to be muskir and it is najis. Now, because wudu, as we said, need tahara al-waqi'iyya, not zahiriyya. So according to him, that wudu was not on a real taharat purification. So that wudu is batil. You did it, you thought that alcohol is tahir, so you did not care of it. This means your thought was wrong and your wudu was batil. So now we have to do qada of all your prayers at that time. You see the, how it's sensitive matter. So that is why it is better to do ihtiyat. I mean, in case some people use perfume or some makeup, which might have later on might be discovered that there is, pig's fat or some animal fat, etc. May not be known now, but later on. For ihtiyat, one has to make sure of taharat of the parts of wudu, which is wash the face and two hands and forehead and the legs. So he has to make sure they are tahir according to ihtiyat of maraja. If somebody say alcohol is tahir, another one say najis, you make ihtiyat and say suppose alcohol is najis. If perfume or odiclone is used, it might be used on a cloth or on the body, not on a place of wudu. On a cloth will not harm the prayer. Why? Because on a prayer, you say, if there is najasat and you don't know about it, you are unaware of it, your prayer is correct. Like if there is some urine, for example, in your cloth, but you are not aware of it, you offered your prayer. After finishing your prayer, you found that your cloth was najis. Then your prayer is tahir. Now you have used alcohol and you thought, according to fatwa, you thought it is tahir. Now, according to new marja, he said, no, it is not tahir, it is najis. So you are not aware it is najis. So your prayer is right. So if it is on a cloth, on a body, it will not harm your prayer if it is according to your marja, to the tahir, the living marja. Even a future marja will not see. But if it is on your face or on your hand, it might create problem in the future. So learning it and doing it according to ihtiyat is absolutely necessary. About ghusl also, some of the maraji have ihtiyat of wujubi, that after washing the head and neck, the one should wash the right side first, then the left side. That order should be preserved. According to some, this order is not necessary to be preserved. Now, they may do taqlid of marji, which is say this order is not wajib, that is right. But in case in the future a marja comes and say it is wajib, this means their ghusl throughout their life it was batil, and they have to repeat their prayer as qada. So it creates problem. So that is why it is better always to work according to ihtiyam in masail of wudu, ghusl and tayammum. A woman was doing ghusl just by being below the shower, without head, neck, without niyat was there because you know, the first thing it has. She has to correct as soon as possible. Secondly, well, there might be need for qada of the prayer, but she has to follow the marja. She's asking the bed. He said that it is between right and left, but it's in head and neck and body. That is, it should be. Yeah, but she has to have intention of tartib. Intention of tartib is necessary. Head and neck first, and then between right side and left side there is ihtiyat to be wajib. or some say this is not wajib. Head and neck, first, all of them say. Well, if she washed head and neck first and then all the body, well, again, now she has to refer to the living marja. If he has ihtiyar, she can refer to the marja after him and see if the marja after him says that it is okay, then it is okay. She can refer to another marja. If he says it is okay, then it is okay. No. But then for the future, she has better to observe 30. Yes. Well, the chance is always there to learn, but they have not thought about it, they have not taken it serious, they were out, they were busy in getting worldly education, not religious education, naturally. That is the problem, otherwise the chance was always there. However, if they have no chance, suppose they were in desert living and nobody to teach them, then now it is wajib to do qada of their prayer. If it was wrong, then it is wajib to do qada of the prayer. If the wudu was not right, or ghusl was not right, or they were not offering prayer, then qada of it is wajib. If you take wudu and go out.